Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
I'm going to just not use entire words, so this is awful too.
Why?
I don't know why I'm telling you this story. There's no reason for it whatsoever. Let's move on.
And now, today's episode.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh my God, huh? Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, for the next few months, life is not going to be the same as we know it. We're going to have to be careful about everything we do. Obviously, you clicked on this program, you're not being that careful. This is one of the few things you can do that does not involve touching. I guess the key word is social distancing, which is not a problem for me. I've done that most of my life. All right, that'll do it. That'll do it. So here we are. Man, unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah, we'll get through this. We just have to be damn careful, huh? That's all. Just be damn careful about everything you do. Think twice about everything that you do and how it impacts everything. It's crazy, man. It's making us think about things, and that's not something we do well. I don't know. The president yesterday addressed the country as best he could using his words, and I guess travel is now restricted, certainly. No incoming flights from Europe starting Friday, and Italy. God, what happened, man? What happened? Is it the pasta? What happened there? I don't know. It's things will get worse before they get better. Is there an upside to this? I'm looking for one. Just be damn careful, that's all. Use your brains. Change your pattern for a period of time. Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, I believe it is, or Rita Coolidge, or whatever the case is, they both tested positive for the coronavirus because they were feeling a little feverish and achy, and they were tested. See, they get to be tested because they're celebrities. Yeah. If you feel a little achy and you ask to be tested, they'll say, I don't have a test. But Tom Hanks and his wife, they get it. Anyway, they tested positive, so now they've quarantined themselves. They have to stay in their luxurious mansion for 2 weeks. Tough life, man, tough life. The ramifications of this are horrible for people that have to work to earn a paycheck, to put food on the table. What's going to happen, you know, if things get crazy? And they could, and they probably already have. We're just not even aware of it because nobody's really being tested. I'm not here to talk about this for the entire length of the show. There are plenty of places to go for that. We're here to just kind of like move beyond it and get back to the regular doldrums of everyday life. We have on the show today an extended interview with Gordon. You don't know who Gordon is. Gordon is his real name. You might know him as Uncle John, the Uncle John bathroom reader. He's been with us many times before. He's a frequent guest on the program. He's come out with a new book about beer. It's called Beertopia. What? A bathroom reader about beer? I know. I don't get it either. But every once in a while, they delve off the bathroom thing and they get into a subject, and today it's beer. So we're going to talk to the creator of Uncle John's Bathroom Reader and the man himself about his new book, Beertopia. It's all about beer, ladies and gentlemen. Me, not into beer. Hard liquor. With water, I mean, you know. But still, beer never did it for me. When I was born, I had a condition called colic. And that means that I produce gas quite easily. I can't run my car on it or anything, but it certainly serves as a social distancing mechanism. I wouldn't say I'm farting all the time, but certainly there are moments that involve social distancing. Yeah, but I'm a gassy son of a bitch. There's no way of denying this. I mean, you can't mince words with this. I'm a gassy son of a bitch, and always have been. So I don't drink beer because beer has a lot of carbonation in it. Besides, I don't really understand what's so tasty about the damn thing. I mean, if someone came around and said, "Hey, I got a great flavor drink for you," really, what's the flavor? Barley. Oh. Well, where have you been hiding that stuff? I mean, seriously, I mean, who seeks out barley and oats? I mean, barley and oats sounds like a folk group from the 60s. I never got the idea of beer. And then they got into craft beer, which I guess Robert Kraft invented, and that was crazy, man. Now they have these little independent beer places, and the beer in most of these places, to be honest, let's be honest about it, it sucks. It just sucks. It's not consistent. It's too carbony. There's no taste to it. It just sucks. But the real beer connoisseurs, which has the word sewer in it, by the way, the beer connoisseurs say, no, I like the craft independent beer companies. They're very different and very special. No, they're not. They suck. That's in your mind. You want to be special. You want to be this individual beer snob. I'm not into beer. The beer that I drink, to be honest with you, is Guinness. Guinness draft, because it's smooth. It doesn't taste like beer. And so I like it as beer because it doesn't taste like beer. Then I had a Ling Ling or something, or I don't know what it's called. They had a chocolate beer, and it was considerably chocolatey, and that was very pleasurable because, it didn't taste like beer. When I go to a sporting event, that's a joke right there. Actually, no one's going to be going to sporting events for a little while. They have beer. They don't have hard liquor. You don't go to a basketball game and sit in the crowd with a bunch of smelly people and drink a martini. It just doesn't go. Martini is a smoking jacket, an ascot kind of thing. That's a cocktail party drink. Beer is for sporting events. So sometimes I'll get a beer at a sporting event and I'll sit there as if I'm one of them, but I'm not. I don't enjoy it. Someone says, "Ron, you want another beer?" I basically answer by saying, "Why? Why? Why would you want to fill me with more gas than I already have at your own peril? Do you even understand what you're doing here?" I'm not into beer, man. Not. I guess it's because I'm not a real sports enthusiast. I'll watch it, but I don't stand up and scream because I totally don't give a crap. And the people that do stand up and scream at sporting events, I wonder if there's a psychotic thing going on here, or why are you getting so excited about something that you really have nothing to do with? Let me remind you, it's a game. Look up the definition of game in the Wikipedia Dictionary of Life. And you will find that it's a game. Getting excited over something like that is a little bizarre. While you're drinking beer, now you're over the top. I guess they have hats where the beer can is mounted on the hat. I know. And there are hoses that come off the top of the hat and go into your mouth. So you drink the beer can from the top of your hat through a hose. These people should be locked up. Seriously. It's not that they're a danger to society as a whole. It's just, I don't know what you're doing, and you're scaring the hell out of me. I mean, the only time that I want to see liquid going through a hose is if I'm having an operation and they have to drain my penis and get the urine out of there somehow, and that's not pleasurable at all. So, I don't know. All right, our guest is just around the corner. I don't know if you can see him. He's over there. No, not there. Over there, behind that tree. Yeah, that's Uncle John. He's going to be on very shortly. And again, he's not a short guy. That's just a phrase that you use to show a small amount of time. Not that he's small. He'll be here shortly, and we're going to talk about beer. I'm going to make believe I know what I'm talking about, which is not easy to do many times for me. It's a stretch. I do a lot of make-believe stuff. I do. Why am I even laughing? There's nothing funny going on. What's the deal with that? All right. Oh, man. There is a beer that I do drink. I just drink it because it is so cool to drink it. Sometimes I do things because it's cool. If you were from the prior generation, not the generation Y, not the generation X, not the millennials, I don't know the names of all the generations. Why is there a different generation every 2 years? How many generations do we need to have? Why we got to label everybody? What generation are you from? What? Are you serious? What generation? What are you talking about? When I was younger, my parents smoked. Everybody smoked. The parents all did. And I think they did it because it was cool. Because it's so cool. I don't think anybody really enjoyed it. It was cool. You only enjoyed it because of the nicotine. Now we got kids vaping. And we'll be doing a show about that in the near future. I have some guests lined up to talk about vaping and marijuana, because you're still putting smoke in your lungs, and I'm just still wondering why you haven't gotten the bulletin that that's not a good thing to do. Putting smoke in your lungs, it's a pastime. What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? We banned smoking. Nobody smokes anymore. And now kids from the new generation, I don't know, that sounds like a boy band, They're putting smoke back in their lungs. I mean, the hell's wrong with you? Anyway, I enjoy a good beer every once in a while. No, I don't. That's a lie.
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops? An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years? A true beer drinking experience. Or like most of us, are you just looking to get f***ed up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Fockenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Fockenhalter. It's beer.
Well, you know him as Uncle John. He's Gordon Javna. We've spoken to him many times before. He's back with us again with a new edition of something a little bit different. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you, Ron?
I'm doing fantastically. I know you're out in California, I understand.
I'm actually in Oregon. Oh, which is close to California.
I got it. I like to start all my interviews with bad information on the interviewer's part.
But, bad information?
Well, it's not bad information. It was incorrect, basically.
Okay. Well, you know, I live in Southern Oregon, which is just on the California border, so you're not really that far.
All right. Now I feel better. Thank you. I can now progress with the interview in an intelligent manner. Anyway.
Okay.
Yes, I have, as a lot of America does, we have all the editions of Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, And everybody's saying now, oh, okay, I know who he is. And now we have something that's come out that's a little bit different. This doesn't happen very often. We've got a specialty book.
Right. Well, usually Uncle John's Bathroom Readers are, you know, a combination, lots of different kinds of information on a variety of topics. But every once in a while, we do a book on a single topic, and we've done that many times over the years. But this is a special book. This is called Uncle John's Beertopia.
Beertopia. And yes, and this is, I guess, America's love of beer.
Yes, you know, we are undergoing a sort of a beer revolution in the United States, and that is the craft brewing revolution.
Yes.
Breweries, for a long time, there were only very large breweries, and that's sort of a we're headed for sort of a throwback, because at one time every area in the country had the local brewery, and with prohibition in the 1930s, that went away. All the breweries, the small breweries, closed.
Yeah.
Interestingly, some of the major breweries stayed in business by a variety of methods. They produced something called near beer, which is like a half a point of alcohol. A lot of the big breweries, it's kind of interesting, a lot of the big breweries had their own brands of near beer. Schlitz had one called Famo. Pabst had one called Pablo. Anheuser-Busch had one called Bev-O, but that's only one way they stayed in business. Anheuser-Busch and Yuengling also made ice cream.
Wow.
And Coors made glassware and pottery. And they all made, all the big breweries that could possibly stay in business, they made malt extract, which was supposedly used for baking, but, you know, wink, wink, it was really used for home brewing.
Yeah.
In fact, there were a lot of home brewers during Prohibition. But after Prohibition ended and beer came back, the number of breweries still didn't grow as far as the, you know, before Prohibition, there were about 750 breweries in the United States, and by the 1960s, there were still, 200. There were none, obviously, during Prohibition, but then when they came back, they didn't come back in a big way. But now there are about 3,000 breweries in the United States. So
amazing.
We're experiencing something of a beer renaissance in the United States.
You know, even if one doesn't drink beer, as I tend not to, because there's so many finer alcohols that can get me to my destination quicker, but I still find it to be an incredible social phenomenon across the world. And in true Uncle John's form, my favorite section in this book, by the way, it's a nice little book called Beertopia, 83 funny craft beer names. This is some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen in my life. And these are actually true names of craft beers. Spicy Fishwife is my favorite.
I like Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn. Eustace Christ. It's fun. I mean, it's just, and it just goes on and on and on, and there's a lot of them.
Oh, I have to read some of them. There's Smooth Hopperator, Pork Slap Pale Ale, Java the Nut, Overhopulation, Spicy Fishwife.
Yes.
I mean, it's just sort of one of the traditions of the of craft brewers is that they come up with funny names for their beers, but
it's funny, and this is
so you said true Uncle John's fashion. Well, what's fascinating about beer, what we found in putting this book together, is that there are so many different aspects of this, and you know, you could pretty much say this about any anything that any kind of industry like this. There's there's lingo. There's you special if you want to sound like a beer geek, you can learn about what. Some of the aspects of beer are diacetyls and esters, which are flavor compounds. Diacetyls, by the way, is the butterscotch flavor that sometimes you taste in beer, or alpha acids, which is the bitter acid from hops. But you can also learn about hangover cures. There are ancient hangover cures that we talk about here. One that Pliny the Elder wrote about was fried canaries.
Wow.
Way to cure hangovers. And In Germany, they like pickled herring, and there's some scientific basis for having pickled products or even pickled juice as a hangover cure, because it's the salt and minerals brings electrolytes to your system, which helps cure the hangover. There's also the American cure, which is hair of the dog, a Bloody Mary in the morning after, which also has some basis in scientific fact, in that your blood alcohol level really dips below normal about 12 hours after your peak being drunk, and that weak Bloody Mary will actually pick you up a little bit. And so, I mean, I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying that it actually works.
I'll take it.
We have some weird beer flavors. Again, true Uncle John fashion, we have weird beer flavors. There's one brewery in California that makes a beer at Christmas time that's flavored with frankincense and myrrh. There's a brewery in New Jersey that makes a creme brulee flavored beer.
That sounds good. It just doesn't stop. And interestingly enough, you would think in the United States with all these sporting venues and all that, and all the guys who never change their underpants, that this would be like the top, definitely within the top 10 countries of beer drinkers. Are they?
No, the U.S. is not in the top 10.
Wow. Amazing.
You asked me what the top one is, and I don't remember, but that's the that's the problem with being Uncle John, is that you learn so many things that you can't remember all of them. But I know the U.S. is not in the top 10.
Wow. That's amazing in itself. Yeah, I would assume the European countries, yeah.
And talking about true Uncle John fashion, one of our favorite things to write about in everything is flops.
Flops.
You know, for every fad that goes up, there's a few that fail, and those are always kind of interesting. There's a beer that was made in the 1980s called Nude Beer that didn't do that well. There's nothing special about the beer except that they had a picture of a naked lady on the can. That didn't
work.
Do too well.
That worked for me.
But my favorite flop is the one from the 1960s called Hoppin' Gator. And it was a combination of Gatorade and beer, sort of like a Shandy, you know, which is lemonade and beer. Mm-hmm. But the American version is with Gatorade. And it was developed by the same guy that developed Gatorade. For those that don't know, Gatorade was developed by in Florida, mm-hmm. named after the Florida Gators, the University of California, mm-hmm. University of Florida football team. Mm-hmm. And it was a sports drink. Well, somebody decided to combine them, and they made this product called Hoppin' Gator. And it was actually manufactured for about 3 years, from 69 to 72. That was it. It's gone.
Gordon, have you or any members of your staff won thousands and millions of dollars in prizes playing trivia games?
You know, I've been kicked out of trivia games, so you mean like the local the local pub? So I don't go to this. But one guy on our staff actually went on Jeopardy.
Oh.
Yeah, and he lost.
Well, because this is...
He did very well for the first half, and then he bet it all on a question that he got wrong, so he didn't...
Yes,
but you did get an article out of it. I lost on Jeopardy.
But, you know, your staff has a different kind of knowledge of things that are social and actual real-life street stuff, as opposed to Jeopardy, where what's the capital of Israel? That's not, who cares?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Who cares? You know, you're talking about stuff that people encounter on a daily basis and don't really know the story behind everything that they do encounter on a daily basis. So it's almost like, I think it should be curriculum in school, but I don't know. Maybe I'm going too far.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you because we like to know the stories of everything, and everything has a story, and that's part of the thing about Uncle John's Bathroom Reader or all of the Uncle John's books, is that we sort of focus on this aspect of whatever it is we're writing about that is just about fun, you know, just things you want to know. I mean, there's a section in Beertopia on beer games, drinking games.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never played one of these games, there's this great one that I found from the 1800s. It's called Nagelspielen, mm-hmm. which is a German game where the object is to... Nagelspielen means nail play, I think, and it means you hit a nail on the head with an axe, but not the flat end, the pointy end of an axe. And if you get it in, everybody else has to drink.
Yeah, that's not a good idea when people are drinking. Probably.
I know. And probably kind not. Of a with it. But there's also another game that we found called Buffalo Club.
Yeah.
Which is sort of based on Wild West. You know, we have to have your dominant hand free because you don't know, you know, if you're going to have to, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I read there, you're going to have to draw. But the idea is you drink with your non-dominant hand. Your righty, you drink with your left hand. Your lefty, you drink with your right hand. Yeah. And if you catch somebody drinking with their wrong hand, they have to down a drink as fast as they can. Yeah. And if you... call and you yell out Buffalo, but if you yell Buffalo and you are wrong, then you have to drink. So
you
could play that today. That's an old game, but you could play that today.
I'm playing it now as we're speaking, as a matter of fact. Hey, Gordon, you have a contest going on your website, I understand.
We do, don't we? what are we giving away? That's what they told me. We're giving away... What are we giving away? We're giving away a set of books, which is about 80 bathroom readers.
Yeah,
and I think we're giving away a book a day on our website, on our Facebook page.
All right. Well, the website is bathroomreader.com. Simple, mm-hmm. simple.
And you know what? But wait a minute, mm-hmm. Ron. You know why we're giving away books?
Oh, it's an
because
anniversary.
June is, June is bathroom reading month.
Yes, of course. as proclaimed by the government.
It's a registered holiday.
Yes, it is indeed. So, but go to the website.
We registered it. That's how I know.
That's right. I'm sure you do. Bathroomreader.com has all the information, and of course, go to Facebook and look it up as well. Win some prizes and become a bathroom junkie. I don't know what that would be called, but
devotee.
What are the followers called? Is there an actual name for people who follow?
No.
Okay.
Do you have a suggestion?
I do, but I can't say it. I don't know. I have to think about it, but I'm sure it would be interesting. Gordon.
Hotties.
Gordon, always fun to talk to you. Good times, and we'll talk to you the next time around. And then congratulations on Beertopia, available everywhere. Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much, Ron.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Uncle John. Fascinating stuff, I said with my mouth. We're out of time for today. But you know what? I'll be back again tomorrow. I know. Isn't that something? Will you join me tomorrow again with no touching? I think that would be fantastic. This is so healthy for us. Mentally, we can get things off our chest. Mentally off our chest, that didn't make sense. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You do? Oh, my God. All right, have yourself a wonderful day. Be careful. Wash your hands. Seriously. Until then, until tomorrow, I wish you peace.